What is good, good people? You are now listening to another episode of At the Plate with Danny Foxworth. I am your humble narrator, Danny Foxworth. And as you can see, the location is a little bit different. Your boy's in Charlotte for the weekend, you know, just a little quick getaway, but also with some baseball tied into this getaway as well that I'll get into. Just doing a little MLB recap, so to speak. So while I'm up here, while I'm in Charlotte, I had the pleasure of witnessing the AAA juggernaut that is known as the Norfolk Tides. Shout out to my homie Cheats from the Black Baseball Mixtape podcast. He was the one that really put people in the know of how powerful this offense is. And it was a treat getting to witness that firsthand. I went to the game last night. And one of the biggest reasons why I went is because they have a 19-year-old on their team by the name of Jackson Holliday, who is the son of former major leaguer Matt Holliday. And he's also the number one ranked prospect in minor league baseball. And he had a relatively quiet outing. But yeah, his teammate Heston Kjerstad, bro, what can I say? He is a monster. Hit a 3-run moonshot in the top of the first inning. Also, they played each other probably 2 or 3 days ago, and the Norfolk Tides scored 25 runs against the Charlotte Knights, and Kjerstad had 10 RBIs by himself. And he picked up right where he left off. Like I said, had a 3-run moonshot in the top of the first that cleared the stadium. And then Jackson Stowers followed that up with another 2-run bomb. And before you know it, it's 10-0 in the top of the first inning. The Charlotte Knights starting pitcher, he only lasted 1/3 of an inning, giving up 7 runs. And then his replacement proceeds to give up another 3 runs. First pitch was at 7:04. He didn't get to the bottom of the first until 7:39. Crazy shit. But credit to the Charlotte Knights. They fought back. And before you know it, the game went to extra innings. And Norfolk ended up eking out an 11-10 victory in 10 innings. So that was fun to watch. It was cold as all outdoors, though. Man, this is one thing I would change about the game would be the temperature. But, hey, what can you do? And now, moving on to Major League Baseball, had our first no-hitter of the year, courtesy of Astros starter Ronel Blanco, who did his thing in a 10-0 shutout against the Blue Jays. Shout out to him. And Corbin Burnes, which if you listen to our previous episode, which was the MLB season preview, pretty much all of us picked Corbin Burnes to be the AL MVP for the Orioles, and he did nothing to dampen his chances of getting that. He struck out 11. He made light work of the Angels. Kudos to him. Juan Soto, he's just tearing the cover off the ball. He's on fire right now in the Bronx. Bronx is burning, for sure. Mookie Betts, I mean, he was again, on our preview episode, Mookie Betts was pretty much our consensus pick for National League MVP. And the man he's a walking cheat code right now. Leading the league in on-base percentage, slugging percentage, hits, home runs, total bases, runs scored, and walks. This man is a damn robot. There's nothing that he can't do. Then on top of that, moving him from outfield to shortstop, which is not an easy transition. And he makes the toughest things look so easy. And it's just, he's such a joy to watch. He really is. And my dog Odolis Garcia, he's on the tear as well. Again, the man it's just something about him and the Houston Astros. He just has their number. Hit another 3-run homer against them last night. And what can I say? I'm just happy he's a member of the Texas Rangers. And it's the best of times and the worst of times with Texas, because now third baseman Josh Young, after missing a significant amount of time last season with a fractured thumb, now has a wrist fracture, which originally was going to keep him out for 6 weeks. But now that stay has been extended to 8 to 10 weeks. So sucks that it happened to him. Hate to see it, but I mean, that's how the game goes sometimes. And I mean, he's young. He'll bounce back. And also on the injury concern front, our NL MVP pick for, well, NL Cy Young pick, I should say, Spencer Strider for the Braves. He started suffering some elbow discomfort in his outing last night, and that concerns me. He's got an MRI scheduled for, I think, for today, and I hope it's nothing bad, because he's one of my favorite pitchers in the league, and now that he's included an off-speed pitch as his third option that he was working on in the offseason, and I'd hate to see him lose a season like that. But again, those are the breaks when it comes to pitching. Just all that throwing, man, it's only a matter of time. But now we're going to get into the MLB standing. So Yankees and Red Sox are both tied atop the AL East with a 6-2 record. Surprisingly, the Detroit Tigers, which I did not see emerging as the leaders in the AL Central, they're currently 6-1. My beloved Texas Rangers are atop the AL West at a record of 5-2. And the Atlanta Braves are 4-3, which is good enough for the NL East lead. And the Brew Crew are currently 5-1 atop the NL Central. And the Pirates, which I would have never guessed they'd have such a hot start. They started off 5-0. They're currently second in the division at 6-2. And, of course, Los Doyers, just holding it down the NL West with a record of 7-3. They're my pick to go to the World Series. And right now, they're miles ahead of everybody in that division. Shout out to the Rockies and the Giants. But, man, Miami Marlins, what can I say? They were the team in my MLB preview episode that I said I was going to watch intently, simply because their new acquisition, they acquired Tim Anderson and then pairing him up with Jazz Chisholm and D. Gordon. And it's just been an abject failure so far. They are 0-8. And to make bad even worse, their star prospect, Eury Pérez, has to undergo Tommy John surgery. And you just hate to see it. And speaking of going from bad to worse, these damn Oakland A's. I feel so bad for Oakland A's fans. I honestly really do. I mean, being such a stalwart, going back to the 70s, winning 3 straight world championships during the Reggie Jackson and Riley Fingers years, and then moving on to the 80s, where they were arguably the team of the decade. I mean, you had Ricky Henderson, Dave Henderson, Dave Stewart. You had the Bash Brothers. You had Dennis Eckersley. And now, it's just, even in the 2000s with Jason Giambi and Barry Zito and Mark Mulder and Tim Hudson, those Moneyball teams, and now it's just going from sugar to shit since John Fisher bought that team. Cheap bastard. And Oakland fans are protesting with their dollars, and I don't blame them one bit. I think they're only averaging now like maybe 3,000 people a game. And now the news has come out that even though they're moving to Vegas in 2028, in the interim, after this season, they're leaving Oakland and they're going to play their games from 2025 to 2027 in Sacramento. And they're not even going to attach the city name to it. They're simply going to be known as the Athletics. And it really is a shame that such a storied franchise just fell off the way that they did once this owner bought this team. I don't like it one bit. And speaking of not liking it one bit, for my last gripe, Fanatics. They really need to get their shit together, because they're just swinging and missing with the manufacturing of these jerseys. I mean, from consumers and players both. Players complaining that the jerseys are too transparent, and you can see through their pants, like the material is damn near see-through with their pants, and they're having issues with that, and having issues with the top of the jerseys matching the pants. And you look at the nameplate and the numbers on the back of their jersey, not only are they significantly smaller than usual, but now they're not even stitched on anymore. They look stitched, but they're actually iron-on, and it's such a bad look for Major League Baseball. Fanatics, they need to get their shit together. Matter of fact, the Texas Rangers were supposed to wear the City Connect jerseys last night, and Fanatics didn't have the jerseys ready for them in time. So, yeah, they need to get this shit together. And that's been another episode of At the Plate with Danny Foxworth. And make sure you'll like, download, and subscribe. Make sure you'll download, make sure you'll subscribe to my YouTube channel at DannyFoxworth843, where you can find all the video episodes for this podcast, as well as my other podcast since we last spoke with Danny Foxworth. And until next time, y'all be good. Three strikes.